Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, we are here tonight. I'm using a different system tonight because last week I did a one-hour show and only 26 minutes of it showed up. And my microphone quit at about 24 minutes. Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened because my mic was still working. My mixer was on. It was recording. It was doing everything it needed to do. But Blog Talk Radio just ended. And I think what happened may have been Blog Talk Radio, but I'm not really sure. Tonight I'm using my phone and calling in on it, hoping that this will work better. And welcome to the show. Last week, in the second half of my show, I read chapter one of Creator, a new book by Douglas B. Gibbs. The world is upside down and inside out. Evil has become good, and good has become evil. Churches have been infiltrated, and the rule of law has been replaced by the rule of man. To restore our liberty and the virtuous nature of our country, we must understand what is happening and what to do. Creator is a book that goes over the very foundation of our system and addresses seven pivotal issues that we must understand, address, and fight for as we reestablish our American way of life with a foundation and cornerstone based on the belief of our Creator. As Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, quote, "The laws of nature and of nature's God, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Notice they don't say that we don't have the right to happiness, just that we have the right to pursue it. So in that one, the left has this all completely wrong. But that is that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, which is you and me, folks. That whenever any form of government becomes disruptive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to seem, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate what governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, the people's right, and it is their duty to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been a patient sufferance of these colonies, which such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government, unquote. However, if you read Ephesians 6, we must remember that our first and foremost offensive weapon is not a gun, but a sword. The sword of the Spirit. This book explains how to wield that sword and more. Estimated to be about 150 pages. Well, I've got the copy of it, and it's a little bit more than that. But our time has come upon us. Now it is our turn. It all begins with our Creator. At the end of this show, I will devote the final segment to reading again the first chapter of this great book. I did it last week, but it didn't work, and part of my show didn't air. So it will this week, hopefully. Dwight Eisenhower once said in 1956 something that totally describes the Democrat Party of today. He said, quote, if a political party does not have its foundation in the determination to advance a cause that is right and that is moral, then it is not a political party. It is merely a conspiracy to seize power, unquote. How true that statement was, and it was told to us over 63 years ago, when the Democrat Party actually loved America. Today's Democrat Party is exactly what Eisenhower talked about in that quote from 63 years ago. Today's Democrat Party is not really a Democrat Party. It is the leftists, and there is a difference here, folks. There is a difference. As America heads down the road to oblivion, we must realize that we were formed as a constitutional republic, not a democracy. The founding fathers fought over this one. It was decided that being a democracy was nothing more than mob rule. So when you hear the pundits and the politicians call us a democracy, know that they do not know what they are talking about. We are a constitutional republic, totally different animal. Right now we have a nominee to the Supreme Court that will take us back out of the 21st century and take us back hundreds of years in the race wars. And mark my words, folks, we are back in them because of the leftists in this nation. She is a leftist socialist who wants for nothing but destroying our Constitution and our rule of law. And it looks now like she is going to be confirmed as the next Supreme Court Justice. This is a sad day for America, not because she is black or because she is a woman, but because she is all wrong for this position. There will be no justice coming out of her. Her past rulings have shown us this, but everyone is too lazy to look because they won't be following party laws. And to the leftists, that is all that matters. To hell with the laws and the Constitution. We need to listen to them and them only, because we are too stupid to know anything about them, don't you know? Welcome to the show, and glad that you are here with us tonight, and we will be right back.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans have no option.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Call in number 646-478-5284 if you want to call in. 3.5 years ago, Democrats in the Senate conducted the worst coordinated attack on a Supreme Court nominee in American history. But now the establishment media is trying to rewrite that history. In an editorial published Wednesday, the Washington Post editorial board claimed that Republicans have treated current Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson worse in her confirmation hearing than the Democrats treated Brett Kavanaugh. The editorial said Republicans have smeared Judge Jackson based on obvious distortions of her record and the law in what it described as clownish performances. Meanwhile, in previous hearings, it was Mr. Kavanaugh who behaved intemperately, personally attacking Democratic senators and revealing partisan instincts that raised questions about his commitment to impartiality, the board said. Now, if the Post editorial board wants to play the comparison game, okay, let's get right to it. In 2018, then-President Donald Trump nominated Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh was an established judge who had undergone 6 FBI background checks in the previous 25 years without any serious allegations against him, according to the Heritage Foundation. Nonetheless, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California received an unsubstantiated, now we have to remember this, it was unsubstantiated allegation of sexual assault against Kavanaugh from a woman named Christine Blasey Ford. Do you remember this woman? She hid the letter for over 6 weeks until just before the Kavanaugh confirmation hearing, and then she briefed only her Democratic colleagues on the Senate Judiciary Committee about the letter. She didn't tell anybody else, just the Democratic colleagues. By the time the hearing started, many Senate Democrats had already decided Kavanaugh was guilty. They'd spent most of their questioning time trying to force him to admit guilt, despite his insistence that he was innocent. Some Democrats went as far as to bring out calendars from 30-some years prior, and Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota even questioned Kavanaugh about his colleague's drinking habit 30 years before, folks. Democrats wouldn't allow this when it comes to their people, but they'll do it to a Republican or a conservative every time if they think they can get away with it, and they do. The implication, of course, was that if Kavanaugh was a heavy drinker in college, that proved he most likely raped someone and did not remember all the details. Okay, you got that? Attacks like these were baseless and disgusting, and an investigation proved how shoddy they were. In its opinion article, the Post editorial board said Ford, quote, credibly accused Mr. Kavanaugh of sexual assault, unquote. In reality, her allegations were proven to have no credibility at all. According to the Heritage Foundation, the Senate Judiciary Committee said after its investigation in 2019 that it found no witnesses who could provide any verifiable evidence to support any of the allegations brought against him. unquote. But it did not stop there. The committee also said that after, quote, separate and extensive investigations by both the committee and the FBI, there was no evidence to substantiate any claims of sexual assault made against Justice Kavanaugh, unquote. Unless the Post can provide evidence, neither committee nor the FBI could. Calling the allegations against Kavanaugh credible is a deliberate lie. Democrats are good at that, deliberately lying. Democrats attempted to turn a weak and unverified allegation against Kavanaugh into a bludgeon to hit him with, and they ultimately failed. Republican Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Josh Hawley of Missouri were among those who questioned the nominee about her record of sentencing child pornography offenders to less time than the guidelines recommended. Now, everything that they questioned her about was in the records. Everybody can get these records, folks, so it should have been nothing that they could have said anything about, but they did. Ted Cruz said, quote, every single case, 100% of them, when prosecutors came before you with child pornography cases, you sentenced the defenders to substantially below not just the guidelines, which are way higher, but what the prosecutor asked for on average of these cases, 47.2% less, Cruz said. Hawley asked her about a case in which she gave an offender an extremely lenient 3-month sentence and then apologized to him. Quote, you said to him, this is a truly difficult situation. I appreciate that your family's in the audience. I feel so sorry for them and for you and for the anguish this has caused all of you. I feel terrible about the collateral consequences of this conviction. And when you go on to say, sex offenders are truly shunned in our society, unquote. I'm just trying to figure out, Judge, is he the victim here or are the victims the victims? Good question. There is more to her record on the issue. According to the New York Times, the U.S. Sentencing Commission sent a report to Congress in 2012 that said sentencing guidelines for child pornography crimes, quote, fail to differentiate among offenders in terms of their culpability, unquote. Jackson was a member of the commission at that time. While there is no mandatory minimum sentence for possession of child porn, receiving or distributing it carries a minimum 5-year sentence. In the report, the commission argued that the penalties for possession and receipt should be the same and that the mandatory minimum sentence should be less than 5 years for both. The Times was attempting to fact-check allegations against Jackson by using semantics. The outlet said the assertion that Jackson advocated for lighter sentences for child pornography offenses was, quote, overtly broad and, quote, omits that the commission is bipartisan and issued the recommendations as a body, unquote. The establishment media can play these word games all day long. It's become to be known as word salad anymore. But the fact is that a commission on which Jackson served argued for lighter penalties for child pornographers, and Jackson did not agree. That is a disturbing fact. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina asked Jackson about her involvement with this commission, for which the Post criticized him and said he, quote, painted her as a friend of child pornographers, unquote. Graham did question her about her position on child pornographers, and rightfully so. But he did not need to paint her as a friend of child pornographers because she did that all by herself. In her words and record, Jackson has seemed to paint child pornographers as some sort of victims. On the contrary, most normal people agree with Graham that putting these people in jail for decades is a good thing for society. Her idea was that Take away the rights to computers. They'll be fine. And when Graham asked her about that, she says, oh, no, that's not what I said. And he stopped her right there and said, yes, that is exactly what you said. And he quoted her. She had nothing to say. That stopped her. That should have been a red flag right there, folks. The Post also mentioned Cruz's questioning of Jackson on racial issues. The senator asked her about some of the books recommended for students at Georgetown Day School in Washington, for which she sits on the board. Cruz brought up Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram X. Kendi, which says on one page that babies must, quote, confess when being racist, unquote. Then he asked her, do you agree with this book that is being taught with children and that with kids that babies are racist? Jackson said she did not believe children should be made to feel as though they are racist or though they are not valued or though they are less than. Granted, this line of questioning might not be directly related to Jackson's qualifications to serve on the Supreme Court, and the Post is right in saying that she has never endorsed these ideas explicitly. Yet even if Cruz's questions were slightly out of line, they were nothing compared to the Democrats' unsubstantiated allegations of rape against Kavanaugh. The fact is that Senate confirmation hearings have become heavily politicized on both sides of the aisle, and Republicans certainly are not innocent of partisanship in this process. With that being said, the Democrats' treatment of Kavanaugh makes Jackson's hearings look like a cakewalk. And if you are truly with the judicial system in the United States and not partisan, only following the rule of law, you will see this. The Democrats are not anymore. They are partisan only to their side. To hell with the rest of us. That right there, my friends, is a disturbing thing in all of this. The Democrats' out-and-out denial of the law has made Republicans have to go the same route to a lesser degree to even get back on an even keel with the left. And when they do, staying within the bounds that should be stayed in, the Democrats come out and say crap like what they did in the WAPO editorial. Republicans have treated Judge Jackson far worse than they themselves treated Kavanaugh when they know that no one will say they are lying when they print it, knowing the first impressions are what counts, and the lie is the first impression. Even though it is a lie, the first impression is what people are going to remember. Even if the truth comes out afterwards and comes out to refute what the first impression said, what people are going to remember is that first impression. And these are things that we have to start remembering here, folks. The Democrats, the leftists, play this very well. They play this in such a way that it is hard to take them down, because when they say things like they did here, like what was said here about them, it is in print. Somebody can't come up and say, no, wait a minute, that's not true. If they're talking behind a microphone, somebody can come up and say, no, that's not true. But they don't, because the only people allowed in when the Democrats are talking is the liberal media. And, of course, they're going to fall back and just listen and write. And if someone actually does say something about it, they will get the answer, not the one that they want, of course, but they will get an answer and just sit back and start writing again, going on to the next subject, because they're just going to, okay, fine, let's just go on to the next thing. And it doesn't matter if the Democrat that's behind the microphone is lying. No, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter in the least. Why? Because they get that first impression. And when something comes out, like it does on Newsmax or Breitbart or Newsmax or Breitbart or any of these publications or television things that will come out, what they're getting is stuff that the media is allowed to be at, but they're not. So they can't be in there and say, now, wait a minute, Mr. President, that's a lie, because they're not allowed in there. And that's what is going on in this nation. The conservatives, or the constitutional people who follow the Constitution and follow the rule of law, are not allowed. They've had people, Charlie Kirk, one of them, was banned from Twitter the other day for calling Richard Levine, or I'm sorry, excuse me, Rachel Levine, a man. Which, by the way, is the truth. It is the truth, folks. Rachel Levine was named Woman of the Year. Now, my idea on this, folks, is that every woman in this nation should be offended and upset about this, because every woman that I have ever known deserves that more than Richard Levine does. This man lived 51 years of his life, and then he decided, oh, today I'm going to be a woman. I'm no longer a man. The problem with that, folks, is I do not care what you have done to your body, what you have done surgically to your body to get rid of male genitalia and replace it with female genitalia, you're still a man. And it doesn't matter what the left says. It doesn't matter what the right says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You're born a man. You will die a man, no matter what. And if they take Richard Levin's or Rachel Levin's DNA from her bones or his bones after they've died, the DNA is going to say one thing and one thing only. He was a man. Leah Thomas. This one has been a hard one because for some reason I found his male name. I actually found it today, but I can't remember where the heck I was at the time. But I found his male name, Leah Thomas. They've done everything from NBC taking a picture of him after his win against women, showing a picture of him, and then airbrushing it to make him look more female. They got in trouble for this, and they should have, because he is not a female. He should not be allowed to compete against these women. And in one of the last races he went in, he ended up in fifth, so four women beat him. I say hallelujah to that. But the woman who came in second in that race where they took his picture and made him look like a woman, she has been touted as being the fastest woman in the world in swimming. And hallelujah to that. He shouldn't get any kind of kudos or anything for what he's done. While he was a man, he couldn't do any better than place 462nd. He couldn't beat too many men. And because of that, he decided, well, since I can't win here, I'll go over to this side, and now he's number one. Trouble is, he's not a woman. And it's the same thing with Rachel or Richard Levine. He is not a woman. He was given the ideal that he's the woman of the year. No, he's a man. And every woman should be totally, completely, and insanely mad about this one.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies, all in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Okay, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and I wasn't sure if my microphone that I was using was working, so I went straight to my phone on this, so this should be better no matter what. I wanted to talk about the things that are going on in this country, going on in the world, and we have had our president, our so-called president, over in Poland making an ass of himself. I watched him speaking to the troops, and since he spoke to the troops, they've had to go and get clarification from their leaders what so-called President Biden said, because he said that he told them that he had been over in the Ukraine 40-some times, and they changed it to 38, then to 35. He's only been there 25 times, folks. But never as president. And he was talking about it. He said pretty much what he said was, what I saw over there, you guys are going to find out soon enough when you get there. Now, the troops were kind of concerned about this because they hadn't been told anything about going into the Ukraine. And the White House had to cover for him on that because he spoke out of turn. And he keeps doing this because he does not know what the hell he is doing. He does not know what he is saying. And one of the things that I noticed when he walked in to, they had a meal of pepperoni and jalapeno pizzas. And he went in, and when he walked in, the only people standing in there were the leaders. They were standing in there waiting for him at the door. Everybody else was seated. When he walked in, here's the stark difference that I saw between when Trump would walk in with troops and Biden walked in with troops. And I'll lay this one out for you right here. When Trump walked in with troops, they would immediately jump to attention and salute him. No one did this when Biden walked in. Everybody just stayed sat, didn't do a thing. They kept talking among themselves. Every once in a while, one of them would pull up a camera and take a picture or take a movie. And then Biden walked behind one row. And as he walked past about 8 or 10 soldiers before he finally stopped. And the soldier turned around and shook his hand, stood up, shook his hand, then turned back around, sat down, and started doing what he was doing. Then Biden went to the next one. I did not see one soldier salute him. I did not see one soldier actually treat him like the commander-in-chief. And a lot of the soldiers that were at the table were talking among themselves. But what the soldiers had to do was they had to go to their commanding officer and find out, hey, are we really going into the Ukraine or not? No, Biden just said what he did because he just does things like that. No, you're not going. But one of the things that Biden said while over there was that if Russia uses chemical weapons or nuclear weapons, that NATO and the United States would respond in kind. Now, this is an illegal statement, folks, but nobody said a thing about it. Nobody but Newsmax mentioned this. I heard this one on Newsmax. The document that makes this statement illegal is one that was signed by President Nixon when he was president that states that chemical weapons are not allowed. And to say that you're going to retaliate with the same kind of weapons is illegal. Of course, Biden's still running around acting like a moron out there. But this whole idea that Biden is saying the things that he has been saying, brought up in Newsmax, where the headline says, White House clarifies, no U.S. troops in Ukraine after Biden's comments. The White House on Friday emphasized that U.S. would not put any American boots on the ground in Ukraine, an administration spokesperson told Fox News on Friday. The clarification comes after President Joe Biden's comments to a crowd of U.S. troops earlier in the day while emphasizing the might of average Ukrainian citizens. Now, here's his quote. This is the quote that the president told the 82nd Airborne Division stationed in Jasionka, Poland. He said, quote, you're going to see when you're there.
Some of you have been there. You're going to see women, young people, standing in the middle in front of a damn tank saying, "I'm not leaving." Spokesman later emphasized to the network that Biden has been against deployment of U.S. troops since Russia invaded Ukraine. The spokesperson said, quote, "The president has been clear. We are not sending U.S. troops to Ukraine, and there is no change in that position," unquote. The president keeps saying things, and the White House has to cover for him. And because the White House covers for him, the media does too. It said, goes on to say, before visiting Poland, Biden spent most of his week at an emergency NATO summit in Brussels discussing the West's response to the conflict. The president pledged at the summit to welcome up to 100,000 Ukrainian refugees and provide an additional $1 billion in food, medicine, water, and other supplies, the Associated Press reported. Meanwhile, a Pentagon official said that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is considering the deployment of additional U.S. troops to NATO's eastern flank, according to Fox News. There are already 20,000 more U.S. troops in Europe than there were in January, bringing the total as of March 17th to 100,000, Fox News said. And these are things that, you know, Biden just is constantly opening his mouth and then saying something before he engages his brain at all. These are things that we have to be scared of, folks. He talks about World War III and starting, and how if we got involved, it would start World War III. No, he's the one who's going to start it with the things that he keeps saying. And the United States has got to do something about this. Either the government has to stand up and say, "Now, wait a minute, I don't think he's able to do this, and we need to find somebody else because he can't do this." But because nobody has the gonads to do something like this, that's where this whole thing sits, folks. We have a president who pretty much cheated his way into the White House to take a position that he is wholly inadequate to do. He is the president of the United States, but he doesn't have the mentality, he doesn't have the wherewithal to be the president of the United States. All of our allies over there, including Ukraine, are looking to the U.S. for strength. They're looking for the strength that they had under President Trump. But that strength is no longer there. Biden has completely destroyed that strength that the U.S. had during Trump. And Biden keeps blaming the war for the things that are going on here in America. He keeps blaming Putin, and he keeps blaming the war for the inflation and for gas prices. But there is a chart that was put out by Newsmax that actually showed where inflation started. When Biden took office, inflation in the United States was at 1.7%. That's it, just 1.7%. That is very low. And almost to the day, from the day he took office, it started going up. He shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That raised it up about 4%, almost immediately. And it's been going up since. And the people are smarter than he's giving them credit for. He keeps saying, "Oh, it's the Russians who's doing this. It's Vladimir Putin who is doing this." No, it's Joe Biden who is doing this. It's been Joe Biden who's been doing this since the first day he took office. And that's a plain and simple fact, folks. You can listen to Psaki or the person who's replaced her right now because she so-called got COVID, and that's something else I need to talk about here. they keep saying that Biden's doing a great job, that Biden is just being lambasted because of things that are beyond his control. No, he's not. He keeps talking about going to renewable fuels and then shutting down American oil because that will cause global warming. And then he goes to Iran, China, Russia, Venezuela for oil. Let me tell you something, folks. That oil that he's going after is much, much, much dirtier than American oil. It is not processed with the same standards that American oil is processed with. American oil is processed as the cleanest oil in the world by a long shot. But Biden won't let American oil start up again. Why? Because he says global warming is going to happen if we let American oil be used. So instead of using the cleanest oil he can possibly get, he goes to Iran or China or Russia or Venezuela, where the oil is sludge compared to American oil. And the process to make it is much more polluting to the climate all over the world than our own oil is. But he won't start our own oil because that's causing global warming, don't you know? Folks, we have got to start thinking here. He wants to use the dirty oils of Iran. He wants to use the even dirtier oils of Venezuela. Wants to use the dirty oils of Russia. But in America, where the laws make sure that the oils are clean and the processing of the oil into gasoline is done in a way that makes it cleaner and cheaper, by the way, he won't do that. This is getting insane, folks. Biden has a brain that just shuts down. He wakes up in the morning, and then 5 minutes after he wakes up, his brain shuts down. He walks around like an invalid, steroids. He always seems to have no energy at all. He always seems to want to do the things that are harmful to the United States. He won't do what he needs to do at our southern border, where we have a crisis of our own, folks. But he's got everybody over in Poland right now because that's where the crisis is that he wants to take care of. He doesn't want to take care of the crisis at our border. He doesn't want to stop the people who are coming into this country illegally. And then on top of that, he's saying, we're going to take 100,000 Ukrainians. I'd rather have the Ukrainians here than everybody who's coming across our borders now. Because at least when they get here, they will be thankful. They will love America because America helped them. And then when Ukraine wins this war and they can go back home to rebuild, they will do it. You see the difference here, folks? The difference is that the Ukrainians will love America for taking them in. But when their country gets available again, they will go back, grateful to a nation that helped them in their time of need. But all we're getting out of illegals is the Democrats' idea that, hey, we've got a whole voting block there. If we just let them in, they'll be thankful for that. And that, yeah, true, they may vote Democrat because of this. But they'll also do things like murder people, kill people while driving drunk, kidnap people. Now, granted, not all of them are bad. But the problem comes in the fact that every one of them that have been bad, the media ignores. When one of them kills kids or something because they drove drunk, the media will talk about it in a passing manner. But that's all they'll do. And then they'll move on to the next story. If they have to mention it at all, they'll just mention that this kid was killed by a drunk driver. And most of the time they won't even mention that the person was illegal. So nobody knows. And here, in a crisis across the sea, this one's suddenly important. He sent Kamala Harris over there last week, and she proceeded to put her foot in her mouth, as usual. And then Biden thought, well, she's not doing enough. I'll go over there myself. And he immediately goes over there and puts his foot in his mouth. I could tell by the way people were looking at him that they have no respect for the man. They have no respect for his position. Now, if he'd have been Trump going over there, they'd have all flocked to him. You know, and there's things that we have to watch when it comes to Biden and Trump. When Trump met with Putin while he was still president and they shook hands, one of the things that was really telling was the fact that when they took hands, Trump pulled Putin to him. That is a gesture that says, I'm in charge and you're going to listen to me. During this whole thing today and yesterday where the nations got together and were talking, pretty much everyone ignored Biden, except for one or two. One of those was Trudeau of Canada. He was constantly talking to Biden. And it looked like Biden was trying to get away from him. That is what is going on here, folks. Our nation is the laughingstock of the world right now because of Biden. And he's constantly telling everybody things that don't need to even be talked about. He goes over there and starts talking about Trump and the things that Trump was doing that made it so that he had to become president to fix them. And then he proceeded to say, America is back. No, America is not back. America was back when Trump was president. And because the media keeps covering for Biden, the media keeps covering up for Biden, he doesn't even realize that he's in the wrong. He doesn't even realize that he's doing the wrong things. But he's leading from behind. He's not going out and leading like an American leader should be. And he's not because he isn't. Trump was a leader, and you could tell it in the way that he spoke. You could tell it in the way that he acted. You could tell it in the way the people around him acted. Like I said just a couple of minutes ago, when he shook Putin's hand, he took Putin and pulled him to him. And I have a feeling that if Putin and Biden meet and they shake hands, Putin will do the same thing to Biden, and pull him to him. Probably pull him to him and say, you're my bitch now. These are things we have to look at, folks. And the media won't show us these things because they're all for Biden. They're all for the one who did not win the White House. Now, a week or two ago, Trump had his last Save America rally. There were tens of thousands of people there. Tomorrow, he's got another one in Georgia. This is going to be interesting to watch because things are going on here that Biden doesn't like because he doesn't have control of it. Sarah Palin the other day actually said that if she was asked to run for Congress, she would do it. She would be a good congresswoman. But the things the media is not talking about here, you know, it's like Congresswoman Green in the confirmation hearings against this Judge Jackson, she asked a very simple question. And the memes have gone insane over this one. Congresswoman Green asked her, says, can you tell me what a woman is? You know, the easiest way to answer that would be, yeah, it's an adult female. But no, she didn't do this. She says, can I answer that question? No, I can't, because I'm not. My mind just went blank on that one, but she says I'm not a physicist or something like that. The memes started coming out. Best ones was her saying that, and then underneath showing that little boy in kindergarten cop where he says boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. And then it had a little arrow pointing to him as an expert. You know what was underneath that one on Facebook, folks? A thing saying, false information. Facebook's fact checkers have decided that this is not true. Maybe not to the left, it isn't. I mean, you know, they've got Leah Thomas and Rachel Levine, born men and now say they're women. But the problem with that is God created only two sexes, male and female. You're born one or the other. You stay that the rest of your life, no matter what the hell you do. And I mentioned that Charlie Kirk was taken off of Twitter because he called that one out. He said, Rachel Levine is not a woman. She is a man. He said, he is a man. And Twitter kicked him off. It's getting to the point, folks, if you tell the truth and tell the absolute truth about something, you're going to get kicked off of something. Later in the middle section of last year, I got kicked off of YouTube for having a doctor come onto one of my updates and state that masks do not work. I got kicked off of YouTube for that. And it was a doctor who had been a doctor, a surgical doctor, for over 24 years. If anybody should know, he would know. But because YouTube didn't think the way that normal people do, I got kicked off of YouTube. I had probably about 240, 250 videos on YouTube. They've now been deleted and they're all gone. I had videos on there from the time that I started doing these back in 2010 or something like that. They're all gone now. Thankfully, in 2017 or something like that, I started doing stuff with Rumble. I started doing stuff with BitChute, and I started doing stuff later on with Brightian when they showed up. And Rumble has close to 200 videos on it now, as does BitChute. Now, I don't have many followers on those. I think Rumble, I've got like 16 followers. On BitChute, I've got 26. It would be great if I could start getting more followers. But not many people know I'm out here. It's the same thing with this show. I've been doing this show since 2007. Still, not many people know I'm out here. But the ones that do usually listen. The ones that don't sometimes hear about it from the ones that do, and they start listening. And every once in a while, I'll get a liberal troll who will come on and start saying things that of what they believe and what they think and what they do. And when they get put down for what they believe in, and they find out that what they believe in is not true, they stop listening.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America. Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
There's an angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that I've been doing past couple of weeks is trying to figure out a way to do this show in a better way to get better quality audio, better quality bumper music and things like that. And some of the things that I've done have been, like for my updates that I do daily, I've been doing them on my old computer because my new computer doesn't have the space on it. And in order to get the space, I had to get rid of a lot of things that I needed to do them. So what I'm doing now, and I found out that my new computer's got a much better camera on it than the old one. But the old one still has the memory. So what I've been doing is doing my updates on my new computer so that it uses the new camera. And then I transfer it using a USB stick, memory stick, transfer it from my new computer to my old computer, and then I do it on my old computer. And this actually has worked out well, except the fact that the memory stick that I'm using is 256 megabytes, which means that I have to cut up my update into sections and then put them in sections because the memory stick just doesn't have the memory in it. I was talking with Douglas B. Gibbs, who I have tried to read the first chapter of his new book on my show last week, and it didn't work. But he said he's trying to get himself a new computer to where he will have a computer that's powerful, and he's looking at a gaming computer, which actually would be a really neat thing. And I mentioned that to him. He said, well, maybe I can get you one too. That would be freaking awesome. It would be a desktop, which would mean that I wouldn't be doing my stuff on my laptops anymore if I could get it. But that would be a computer that would be able to do everything that I want to do for this show, including my updates. But one of the things that I wanted to do tonight was reread that first chapter of his book, Creator. And because last week I read it, but it didn't do anything. You know, the microphone, it stopped working, or actually Blog Talk Radio stopped working. So that's why I'm doing this on my phone this week, see if I can possibly get everything to work. But chapter one of the book, Creator, is called Creator. And it starts with a picture that shows Psalm 14, verse 1, where it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The American system is the only major society in history that was specifically built from the foundation up on the principle that its citizens possess a whole litany of individual rights, and those rights are natural or God-given. The establishment of the federal government by the U.S. Constitution was based on the concept of natural rights, and the Declaration of Independence proclaimed that to secure our rights, governments are instituted among men. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that, quote, "the laws of nature and of nature's God," unquote, "are based on absolute truths, and that, quote, these truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, unquote. The Declaration then states that, quote, among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, one of the things that the left constantly tries to tell us is that among these rights are life, liberty, and happiness. It says, we have the rights of life and liberty, but we only have the pursuit of happiness as a right. We have the right to pursue happiness, but we do not have the right to be happy. And that goes completely against what the leftists in this nation tell us. So the Declaration then states that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. In the preamble of the U.S. Constitution, our natural God-given rights are referred to as, quote, the blessings of liberty, unquote, and that it is indicated that they are to be secured by government, meaning that they are not to be interfered with in any way by government, to that they may remain properly in the possession of those to whom God gave them to in the first place. The generation that produced our Constitution concerned that a lack of authority granted to the new federal government would not be enough to keep it from infringing on the rights of its citizens, proposed in 1789 and ratified in 1791, a Bill of Rights in which a number of rights were expressly enumerated. In the preamble of the Bill of Rights, the framers explained that the purpose of the further declaratory and restrictive clauses were to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, and the it being the federal government. The 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights uses negative language, such as Congress shall make no law, or shall not be infringed, or no soldier shall, and shall not be violated in its warnings to the federal government regarding the rights of the people. The necessity of the writing of a Bill of Rights reminds us that while the belief in a creator was an important part of the foundation of our system, the reality by the founding fathers was that human nature is flawed and that we all fall short of the glory of God. If tyranny is the historical norm and a system of liberty must be constantly maintained, then how would America's Constitution stand the test of time? Would the checks and balances in the overall scheme of the new government be enough to halt its march toward tyranny? Even though the potential of the rise of tyranny by men seeking power in fledgling United States in some distant future encouraged the framers of the U.S. Constitution to place throughout the document a necessary litany of checks and balances, they still sought to do more to stave off the evil that some men do. So they added a Bill of Rights through the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Checks and balances limited authorities, and a Bill of Rights, though important administrative additions to our constitutional republic, were not enough, and the founding fathers knew it. All of the guards that men could put into place were not enough. Evil exists on our mortal world, and while the numerous protections placed in the Constitution to secure liberty and our natural rights was a good thing, the rise of darkness and tyranny always looms in the hearts of men. The founding fathers recognized that the evil men do are only the symptom. The cause is something deeper and more sinister. The cause of evil in the world is spiritual. Ultimately, the only way to fight the darkness was with light. Only our Creator can defeat the doings of the great deceiver. Only a godly people are truly capable of establishing and maintaining a system of liberty such as ours. That is why our belief in the Creator is paramount. Without spiritual faith, our liberty cannot exist. A keystone is an inserted wedge at the top of an arch. Without it, the arch cannot stand. If one removes the keystone, the arch will collapse. The Creator is the keystone of the American system. Belief in God means that we believe in the moral law and that he set forth in the Bible. If we are a virtuous people, we are willing to adhere to the rule of law as presented to us by the laws of nature and of nature's God, then the checks and balances in the Republican form of our government can withstand all attacks of the enemy. Since belief in a Creator establishes the foundation of our governmental system and serves as the keystone of the American liberty, then that means that as a people, we believe that the Creator is watching over us and even involving himself in human affairs. Benjamin Franklin, in his letter recommending prayer before each session of the Philadelphia Constitutional Convention in 1787, stated, quote, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" Unquote. Without God, he assured his fellow delegates, we labor in vain. Without God, the government formed by the Philadelphia Constitutional Convention in 1787 would fail. Without God, they would be divided, bickering over every little partial local interest. Without God, the greatness that could be the United States would be lost to future generations. After Franklin's motion to pray before each session of the convention was seconded, Alexander Hamilton and a number of others who shared his political views expressed their apprehensions about praying before each session of the convention. Hamilton's sarcastic protest included his refusal to accept foreign aid. Hamilton believed the Constitution was limiting the authorities of the federal government too much. Now he was bothered that God was going to be inserted into the convention as well. While most of the founders wished Christianity to be a firm foundation of the new government and a rock upon which our country's culture was built, like his French friends who would launch a revolution in France in the near future, Alexander Hamilton sought a secular government with a complete separation of church and state. He believed in a general will, which taught that man is not governed by spiritual absolute truths, but that the will of the people is a human thing that people fail to recognize, and only a ruling elite is wise enough to recognize and interpret the general will for the good of the overall community. Or as Jean-Jacques Rousseau once said while referring to the general will, sometimes man must be forced to be free. In the end, after 4 days of debate between those who wished to pray and Alexander Hamilton and his allies, the delegates decided no clergy could be hired to join them at Independence Hall, partly due to the lack of funds. Since they were divided in the matter, they could not afford to hire a clergy to lead them in prayer, and they were trying to do what they were doing in secret because they feared the general public would not understand and would instead stand firm against the formation of a new central government. A formal prayer before each session of the Constitutional Convention was not possible, and the motion to pray before each session of the convention was denied by the vote of the delegates. Nevertheless, refusing to allow that to stop them from seeking God's will before continuing, a majority of the delegates took the need to pray into their own hands, and they walked together to the nearest church and congregated there for prayer on July 4th, 1787. They requested a friend they trusted to lead them in that prayer. Reverend William Rogers, a Baptist pastor who had left his church during the American Revolution to don a uniform and serve during the war as a chaplain to the Continental Army, led them in the following prayer on that day. He said, "As this is a period, O Lord, big with events, impenetrable by the human scrutiny, we fervently recommend to thy fatherly notice that the august body assembled in this city who composed our federal convention, will it please thee, O eternal, I am, to favor them from day to day with the immediate presence with thy immediate presence, be thou their wisdom and their strength. Enable them to devise such measures as may prove happily instrumental for healing all divisions and promoting the good of the great whole. Incline the hearts of all the people to receive with pleasure, combined with a determination to carry into execution whatever these thy servants may wisely recommend, that the United States of America may furnish the world with one example of a free and permanent government, which shall be the result of human and spiritual mutual deliberation, and which shall not, like all other governments, whether ancient or modern, spring out of mere chance or be established by force. May we triumph in the cheering prospect of being completely delivered from anarchy and continue under the influence of republican virtue to partake of all the blessings of cultivated and civilized society. Later, during the America's journey, based on Franklin's request, the tradition of prayer before each session of Congress was initiated and has been in place ever since. In the opinion of a majority of the founders, divine providence was the important key to the success of America, and the belief that the Creator remains even today to be an integral part in maintaining the essence of freedom. In the view of the framers of the U.S. Constitution, limitations on the government, the preservation of individualism, and the reliance on divine providence were inseparable from justice. Only a virtuous society is capable of operating within the rules of just conduct. Without being a godly society, security of personal property and natural rights would be in danger. That alone is a just government, wrote Madison, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. The final sentence of the Declaration of Independence also provides us with evidence of how important the Founding Fathers viewed the Creator's protection. It declares, reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. John Adams, after viewing and contemplating the new Constitution of which he first viewed while in a foreign country, proclaimed, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Daniel Webster commented that he regarded the Constitution as being the work of the purest patriots and the wisest statesmen that ever existed, aided by the smiles of a benignant or gracious providence. George Washington's words regarding God's hands being present during the Constitutional Convention claimed that the adoption of the Constitution will demonstrate visibly the finger of providence as any possible event in the course of human affairs can ever designate it. In his farewell address at the end of his second term as President, Washington further explained that of all dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In other words, the first president of the United States under the U.S. Constitution believed that a belief in a creator and adherence to his laws and moral direction served as the keystone of our new American system. Benjamin Franklin warned us, however, might happen if we abandoned the virtue commanded of us by our creator. When he said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As millions become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters, unquote. Later, when the Bill of Rights was ratified in 1791, we also were given an insight into how important the existence of a creator and our relationship with him was to the framers of our American system. In the First Amendment, five rights were enumerated: religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. Using classical English writing methods of the time, the Founding Fathers listed things in order of importance. Therefore, if we convert the five listed rights into actions, we reveal the order of civic responsibilities and activities the Founding Fathers believe we must follow if we were to maintain our republic. Religion is prayer. speech is talking about faith and liberty, writing about faith and liberty. Assembly is gathering in the name of faith and liberty. And petition, be an activist when it comes to keeping the republic. In short, our relationship with the Creator and communicating with Him through prayer ranked highest in the list that serves as a model of how we are to work to maintain our system of liberty. What immediately followed was the things associated with our faith in Christ, speech, press, and assembly. If we are not on our knees in prayer, if we are not proclaiming His good news through speech and the written word, and if we are not gathered together in His name, we will wind up on our knees in bondage. Our journey through Creator begins with the word Creator. And as we have discussed, without the Creator in our culture, our system collapses, unable to hold itself up without the keystone in place. And that was chapter one of Douglas V. Gibbs' new book, Creator. There's so much truth in that that it's just scary if you think about what's going on today. Because what is going on today, folks, is God is being pushed out of our society. And as He is being pushed out of our society, we see what is going on in our nation. Our nation is floundering right now. Our nation is faltering right now. And the only thing that's keeping it going is the people who believe in Christ and believe in God as prime deliverance from evil. And there are a lot of us out here, but there are also a lot of us who don't want that. And they're pushing the other direction. The leftists in this country are the ones who are actually pushing the other direction. And because of that, right now, because the people have allowed this to happen, we have a leftist socialist in the White House. Actually, we got two of them, Biden and Harris. Then the next in line is another one, Nancy Pelosi. The top three leaders in this country are leading us to hell in a handbasket. And until the people rise up and say, now, wait a minute, this has got to stop, America's going to continue to go downhill. Now they're talking about giving us a new stimulus check, which means they're going to be writing more money, making more money, which will lower the cost of living in the United States, because that cost of living has always been what has kept America great. Right now, third world countries have the opportunity to have a better cost of living than Americans do, because we are allowing our government to tear this whole thing down. And until we stop allowing them to tear this down, things are going to get worse.
We will be back after these few messages from important sponsors. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. and see what happens then, where America always wins. Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with cutthroat precision and accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, running his own business, the Matt Joseph Investigations Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on this case also brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present day, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but also a dark cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt has been hired to find out what is going on without getting caught up in its death and destruction in the process. Night Owls is first in a new series of mysteries featuring Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://amazon.com/dp/15002844491. That's https://www.amazon.com/dp/15002844491. It is also available in both digital and book form. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Order it today. Okay, we are back, and the guest call-in number is 646-478-5284. One of the things that I've been looking at here as we go into our final segment of the show is Russian forces in the Ukraine appear to have shifted their focus from a ground offensive aimed at Kyiv to instead prioritizing what Moscow calls the liberation of a contested Donbas region, suggesting a new phase of war. And they're doing this probably because the old phase didn't work. They've already lost more men and equipment than they lost when they fought Afghanistan, which took them out of being the USSR. That's when the USSR disappeared, folks, is when they lost in that war. They didn't really lose. But what happened was they lost more men than they were able to absorb, and they ceased to be a country. Russia took over that. Right now, Russia has lost more men and equipment than they lost in Afghanistan. That doesn't look really good for them, but it says Russian forces in Ukraine appear to have shifted their focus from a ground offensive aimed at Kyiv to instead prioritizing what Moscow calls the liberation of a contested Donbas region, suggesting a new phase of war. It appears too early to know whether this means President Vladimir Putin has scaled back his ambitions in Ukraine, but Russian military moves this week indicate a recognition of a surprisingly stout Ukrainian resistance. And what has happened just yesterday and today is the Ukrainians have gone back on offense. Russian-backed separatists have controlled part of the Donbas region, East Ukraine, since 2014. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky on Friday again appealed to Russia to negotiate an end to the war, but he said Ukraine would not agree to give up any of its territory for the sake of peace.
Putin's forces are under great strain in many parts of the country, and the United States and other countries are accelerating their transfer of arms and supplies to Ukraine. In recent days, U.S. officials have said they see evidence of Ukrainian defenders going on the offensive in a limited way in some areas. Putting a positive face on it all, Deputy Chief of the Russian General Staff said his forces had largely achieved the main objectives of the first phase of what Moscow calls a special military operation in Ukraine. Well, what is going on now is the defenders in the Ukraine have started fighting back. And I've got a phone call from the 323 area code. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I just called in because I came across your show. It was about current events. So I thought I'd drop in and find out what particular topics you'd be discussing tonight.
For the most part, it's been Ukraine, and I just got through reading the first chapter of a book by a guy who is in California who teaches the Constitution. His name's Douglas B. Gibbs, and I just read the first chapter of his new book called Creator. But we've essentially been talking about what's going on over in Ukraine, what's happening over there, what's happening from here because of, you know, and what's going on over there because of that. Pretty much, that was it.
Well, is there any consensus about who's right, who's wrong?
It all really depends on who you're talking to as to who's right and wrong. The leftists in this country seem to think that Putin is right and Ukraine is wrong, but the world right now, it seems like, is falling under the idea that the Ukraine needs help, and many countries in the world are turning to help them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to think about it because I got conflicting information. So I don't really know what to think about it. I know that Ukraine's on the border of Russia. I've heard that Ukraine was a part of Russia at one time.
Yeah,
it makes
it used
sense
to be,
to me that Russia wouldn't want Ukraine to be a part of NATO because then the United States would put missiles right there in Ukraine. It would be right on the border of Russia. So I don't blame them. I think the United States should keep its nose out of everybody's business.
Well, for the most part, I think they should too because we've got our own problems here in our own country that need to be taken care of, and nobody's doing anything about those. So I agree with you on that one. We need to start taking care of what's wrong in this country instead of going all over the world and trying to be the policeman of the world.
Oh, yeah. That hasn't been good for us. I also read the other day that it was found out that the United States funds 73% of all the dictators in the world. Now, if we're supposed to be against dictatorships, you know, why are we funding 73%?
That one is hard for me to understand. It's like right now we've got, when it comes to getting the oil that we've got, it's probably the cleanest processed oil in the world. But Biden don't want to open those back up. He wants to go to all the dictators around the world and get it from them. And I never could understand that way of thinking because he says he wants to get away from fossil fuels, but he knows he can't do that right now. So he's not opening up our fuel, which would be the cleanest in the world. He's going to Iran and China and Russia and Venezuela to get the oil, which is nowhere near as clean as the oil we have here because of the way we process it. But I don't know. It's kind of head-scratching.
Well, it doesn't make sense if you're a rational person because you're wondering why all these decisions, which seem to be counterproductive, are being made. But it makes sense if you believe that if there's a cabal of rich people who've been around for a long, long time and want to control the world and want to become gods, it makes sense if you believe that the Rothschilds are the ones that want to control the planet so that they, can enter into transhumanism and become gods, which means they would want chaos, you know. Right. So I believe in that particular possibility.
Yeah. I've been watching what's been going on, and I try not to watch things like NBC or ABC or CNN. I've been watching stuff from, Newsmax and Breitbart and Western Journal and The Guardian out of England. I tend to get a clearer idea of what's going on by doing that rather than listening to, the big three here in the United States or the big four or whatever, because I have trouble hearing the truth from them. It's always like they want to protect the president no matter what he does. And the only way that I'll ever find out what's going on is to actually listen to all of them and then try and research and figure out what the heck is the truth out of everything I'm hearing.
Well, that's the best way to do it. If one can know how to discern fact from fiction. I like it when lawyers sue like Pfizer or the government and they get documents that are in court. That way you can tell people, see, this is what has been admitted, as opposed to the slant provided by CNN or the slant provided by Breitbart. Now, both of them have an agenda. Breitbart and the alt-right, they want to present, they want to present a conservative point of view, and whatever Biden is going to do and Kamala Harris and the government is doing is wrong. And that seems to be the kind of prevailing view I have, even though I'm not a conservative. But then CNN and the MSNBC, et cetera, I don't watch them. I haven't watched TV in a long time. But having seen some of the videos,
because I do this show, I try not to watch CNN or MSNBC, but because I do the show, I almost have to, so I can see the different viewpoints.
Yeah, and what makes up my mind for me is that if I were in Congress, I would not be passing laws as damaging as they are to the American people. So it seems obvious to me that Congress is the real problem. Congress is full of what I consider to be traitors. They are people who are rich, get money under the table from lobbyists, and don't care about the American people. Because if they did, America would be such a great country. But
I agree with you, but and the ones who are actually pushing in that direction don't really get too far because they're a minority.
That's because of the brainwashing that's come down the pike the past few decades, which is they've done a good job through the educational system. My name is Joe.
Yeah. Well, it's good to meet you, Joe. I'm glad you were listening, and I'm glad you called in. One of the things that I'm constantly pushing on is Mexico.
What would your name be?
My name is Robert.
Robert. Okay, Robert. Yeah.
And one of the things that I constantly, a lot of the news that I get comes from New Mexico because that's where I live. Right now, New Mexico is touted as having the worst unemployment in the nation. We have a liberal governor who, down until there were only two states that were still locked down, and she decided she didn't want to be the last one, so she pulled us off of masks and everything else. And they have the rules here in the state that if you went anywhere, even outside to walk around, you had to wear a mask.
Right.
Which was stupid. They found out early on that if it's like 65 to and above outside and the sun is shining, COVID can't live. Yet everybody was walking around with masks on, and I've even watched people driving with masks on then pass out and drive off the road. So it's, you know, but now that they have raised that off of us, about 30% of the people still persist in wearing masks all the time, which just blows me away. But that's because of the way the governor in this state kept us locked down and wouldn't let us have anything that really pertained to what was really going on. And a lot of states have that problem, but New Mexico was one of them, because we had this liberal governor who has aspirations to be the queen of this state, and she was trying to keep us all locked down. And I can see them talking about a new strain of COVID coming, and I'm sitting here thinking, oh, God, they're going to lock us down again.
Well, yeah, so, of course they will. What has happened the past 2 years?
They'll always say something like, you know, and they'll always bring up stuff like the new strain is going to be so much more contagious, but they don't bring up the other part of that, whereas, sure, it's more contagious, but it's not going to be as virulent.
Well, they have talked about that. I haven't heard them talk about the transmission factor, but Omicron was dangerous, but they're talking
about... That's what I'm hearing, so...
Oh, yeah?
Because that's
what
we get. Because there's only one...
All of this is nothing more than a... This is a beta test. This is just to find out how many people will comply, who won't comply. Because when you have a disease that only has a 2% mortality rate, with people below the age of 65 only having something like a 0.0001% mortality, while those above 65 who have comorbidities that have one foot in the grave anyway, they're the ones more likely, of course, to be susceptible to any kind of disease. There was no sense whatsoever to have a lockdown. None.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this last
and yet
year,
we did it.
I had a channel on YouTube that had probably about 300 videos on it. And this last year, towards the middle of the year, I did a update, and I do, like, I do my show on Friday, and then on Monday through Thursday, I do daily updates, like Rush Limbaugh did, except their videos. And I put them on Rumble and BitChute and Bridie, and then I also had them on YouTube. Well, I did this one where I took a doctor who was in Texas that had been a doctor for about 30 years, and he was discussing why masks did not work. And I had this on my update, and because of that, YouTube took me down. Got rid of all of my videos and took me completely off.
I've warned people about that. I've warned people about being on Facebook. I said, if you get banned, if they take away your account, they're going to take away you know, your posts and everything else. So it's best to transfer whatever you have to, you know, to a supposedly safe place. DuckDuckGo was found to have switched its search policy so that they are tracking you. So fairly, you know,
I'm glad you told me that, because I had a feeling about that, but I wasn't sure.
So I'm not using DuckDuckGo.
I'm glad you said something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Gabber, that was founded by somebody who was an anti-Trumper. So for all we know, Gabber could be just like a honey trap. It could be set up just to have people, you know, who don't want to go and do Twitter, don't want to do Facebook, but go to that particular forum so that they know what particular side of the political spectrum you're on. So I don't know who to trust.
What about, have you heard of Megabooks?
No. I use Brave Search.
Megabook was something like Facebook, but it was ran without the things that Facebook uses to say, well, one of the things that caught my attention yesterday was they had a thing about this new judge where she said she could not tell what makes
what
a woman.
Is. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they had this little meme from the bottom on the bottom of it where that little kid in Kindergarten Cop says, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. And underneath that it said, Facebook has determined this is fake information. I fell out of my chair.
Yeah, and the sad part about it is that they're right, probably. Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, they're the big tech censorship, you know, because the First Amendment, mm-hmm. nobody wants the government to interfere with our freedom of speech, but we willingly give the private sector our information. But people don't realize mm-hmm. that the private, like Google, Facebook, and the rest, I believe were probably funded by the CIA for the specific purpose of gathering information so that the government could use
it. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. I try and stay off of Google altogether. I end up doing Bing most of the time, but I was using DuckDuckGo, and then I started hearing things about that, and I stopped using that. So.
Yeah, I don't use Bing. I don't use Yahoo. Google I use for images. I use StartPage most of the time, and Brave Search I now use as a substitute for DuckDuckGo. But Facebook, none of social media am I on, but if I even do go on it, I would be very careful about what I say. I wouldn't be political at all.
Okay. That one that you said you use, how do you spell that?
Brave Search, like B-R-A-V-E.
Oh, okay. And then yeah. I used to use the Brave browser.
The app? Yeah.
I run on Macs, and one of mine is an older one, and Brave just would not work on it. I couldn't figure out why, but it just wouldn't work. And my newer one has got such a small hard drive on it that I really got to be careful with what I put on it, because I can put on something and my hard drive is useless because I can't put anything else on it.
Well, so, that's why they always give you the so-called upgrades, so that I had to switch machines a number of times over the last 30 years, to go from Windows 95, or to go from DOS to Windows 95 to 98 to ME to Windows 7. As a result, I had to abandon a good computer because that computer would no longer work if you had Windows 7. So, but I use it for scanning.
God.
Because I have a scanner, and the scanner only works with this computer. It can't be upgraded to a Windows 7 driver. So I have to have a scanner and a computer from yesteryear.
Yeah, that's pretty much how they catch us. You know, you have yourself like me. I've got a Epson WP 4530 printer, and I absolutely love the thing. But when my computers upgrade, I have to find a way to keep that printer working, because it's an older printer. I got it about 6 years ago or something like that, and I just absolutely love it. It does everything I want it to do, and it's got a pump in it that actually pumps the ink through, so it doesn't plug up because the ink is coming down by its by gravity.
What kind is it, an inkjet, or what kind of printer is it?
Yes, it's an inkjet. It's an Epson WP 4530, and it's an older one, but it's got big cartridges in it that fit in one side of it, and the print head has nothing to do with it. Ink is pumped into the print head from a pump, which gets rid of the which makes it so it's much easier. Air doesn't get to the holes in the print head, which they do in a regular inkjet printer. So, and that's the reason why I like this.
How do you get the pump? Yeah. Oh, I see. No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, because with the regular inkjet printers, you pull the ink cartridges out to replace them, and you can see the print head below.
Yeah.
Because they sit right on top of the ink, the print head. Well,
and they dry out,
got,
too.
And they dry out, yeah. And this one doesn't, because the print head doesn't get air in it, doesn't get air to it, because it's a sealed system. It really works out really great, and I've never had any problems with it, except that when I have to upgrade my computer.
What kind of printer is that again?
It's an Epson.
An Epson.
And it's a Workforce WP4530, and it's an older printer now. They've got, I think, 5340s in now, rather than 4530s. So it's an older printer. But the newer ones have got the same stuff too, where you've got a pump that pumps the ink through, which makes lot more efficient. Yeah. And
how often do you have to replace the cartridge?
The cartridges that go into this thing are big. They are about the size of a they're much bigger than a cell phone. You know those big cell phones they've got out now, but they're like about an inch thick. They're about an inch thick, and they're about 2.5 inches wide and about 5 inches deep or thick from front to back. So they're a good size cartridge.
So how often do you replace
the new? I haven't replaced the cartridge in this thing for about 3 months.
Oh, okay, cool.
But my black is getting really close to being empty, so I haven't been printing too much lately. But because if I go over to one of the reasons why I got this, I used to work for Epson, and I got a real good discount on it. Like I'd go to Staples or to Best Buy to get an ink cartridge for this. The black is like $45.
Uh-huh.
And I got like about a 45% discount on it. So I was getting these cartridges for like about $18, which was great. Now that I don't work for Epson anymore, I can't go that route. But it really helped. Like with these cartridges, every once in a while I can go to Goodwill and find one, and they'll have them for like $4. And all.
Oh, that's
it.
Cool.
But it doesn't happen very often.
No.
I'm running out of time here. It keeps telling me that I've only got about 60 seconds left on my show. So.
Okay.
But I'm glad you called. You gave me some good information. I'm going to have to check this out. Brave and the search
engine
you use.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Brave Search. Because, on my old computer, like I said, I had Brave
as a browser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I tried to put it on my old computer, it didn't work. On my new computer, I don't have the space on there to put it.
How big is your hard drive? How big is your hard drive?
Yeah, it's got about 125 gigabyte hard drive on it, so it's little.
Jesus.
I'm constantly running out of space on the darn thing, and it's too bad. my old computer that I'm using, that's got almost a terabyte on it, so I'm constantly doing things on my new and then transferring it to my old one so I can do things because it's got a hard drive in it.
I've gotten rid of something like, I think when I cleaned up my computer, I got rid of something like 70 gigabytes as a result of checking for files which are identical. I shrunk a lot of files, and I got rid of files I didn't need. So I managed to get rid of 50 gigabytes, which is cool because when you're trying to transfer information from one drive to the other, you don't want to transfer a whole lot of duplicate stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my problem is I transfer my stuff with a memory stick.
Oh my God! No! You gotta get transfer cables. You have to do transfer cables. I did that with memory sticks for about 5 minutes, and I gave up.
Well, thankfully, I don't have that many things I have to take from my new computer and put them on my old one. So right now, the memory stick is working fine. But when I have to start putting more stuff on there, then things are going to start changing really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do this show on my old computer, but it's like for my updates, I do them on my new computer because it's got a better camera. Then I transfer them from my old new computer and put them on my old computer and then do it there. But I had to get rid of so much stuff on there that the program that I use, which is iMovie. But the program that I use is iMovie. Well, I got rid of all the stuff that I need for it to get me the space to be able to even record the stupid thing on my new computer. And now when I get it, I go into iMovie, and iMovie's there, but it doesn't have anything I can use to put it out. So I have to transfer it over to my other computer.
Well, okay. Well, in any case,
it's a lot of fun.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And be safe, okay?
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks, and God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, folks, we are at the end of the show, and we are glad that we had that caller that called for a while, and we will be back next week. Starting on Monday, we will start doing our updates again. So Monday through Thursday, we'll do our update, and then on Friday, we'll have our next show. So tomorrow, we will have Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. It'll be at 5 p.m. Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio. And then on Sunday, if Bing gets back at that time, if he gets back, we'll have American by Design with Bing Fisher. And he is usually at 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern time. But we will be back next week. And God bless you. God bless America. And I will talk to you later. God bless you all.